I'm like, Tim, I think I look better without a mask on. But I really don't mind wearing it, and I'll tell you why. It has nothing to do with politics, it has nothing to do with any of that. I used to work with a gentleman who was a leukemia survivor. And this is long before any of this stuff. And he was a good friend of mine, and he was right across the hall from my office. And because of his leukemia, he had real immune deficiency problems. And so for us, who worked with him every day, who loved him and cared about him, we did not want him to get sick. And so if I got a cold, I'd stay home because I didn't want him to get sick. If I really had to be at work, I wouldn't go near him. I'd stay far away. And so I really don't mind wearing it because it's an inconvenience, but I'll survive it. But if somebody really has a health deficiency, I want to think of them. And I remember my friend Bill when I do it. And it makes it a lot easier for me. But outside of that, I think I have some really good news for you today. Because we serve a marvelous God. We serve a marvelous God who cares about every little thing that we do, that we say, and even more importantly, who we are. And so today, I'm going to be taking a message out of the book of Psalms. Because in essence, this is a continuation of what Pastor Mike's been speaking about, which is not up to today. Because aren't we people who are after the heart of God? And so hopefully today, as I bring a message, you'll realize that as we live our life, we are just like King David. We are following after the heart of God. And this should work. Ah, there we go. So the title of my message is, He Watches Over You. He watches over you. Now, this picture, I'm the guy in the funny hat. And the people out in the water don't matter. As far as who they are, because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But there's a real story that goes with this picture. And that's the reason I chose this slide. But that comes later in the message. If you were in advertising, that would be called a teaser. Because I want you to stay and hear the whole thing. But this message is entitled, He Watches Over You. And we're going to be reading from Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. So that's going to be where we're going to take our scripture from. You can look it up in your Bibles, or you can look it up on the screen, because it should be there. Psalm 121, 1 through 4. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Those are great words. Those are wonderful promises. Out of the book of Psalms. And today, I want you to know that the Lord still watches over you. In every step of the way. I was talking with somebody this morning who was telling me how looking out through their career, things that happened that they weren't happy about at the time worked out for their benefit in the end. And the statement that was made to me was, isn't it amazing how God knows things that we don't know? Well, that's because God is always watching over you and over me. And that gives me great joy. That gives me great promise. And I can look forward to the good things of God because He is always watching over me. Looking at the slide, that's going to come into play down the line. So my first point this morning is He never sleeps. He never sleeps. If we go back to what it says here, He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God does not sleep. He is awake all the time, and He's watching over us. We tire, but God doesn't. I have grandchildren who I dearly love. I dearly love my grandkids. And I have a granddaughter who wanted to know that she was safe at night. And her parents put a little camera in her room that looked down on her bed. And as she would go to bed at night, her parents would say, "We are watching over you. Do you see that camera?" And she could relax more. She could sleep better just knowing that mom and dad were watching over her at night. And so when she would come to our house to spend the night, mom and dad sent the camera. And we would set the camera up in her room and we would tell her, "We're watching over you tonight. I can see you in this little mini screen." And she would sleep so much better. It's so important for us to know that there's somebody watching over us all the time. All the time. No matter what state we are in. You guys are out of state, so I can say that. No matter what we are doing in our life, no matter whether we're young or old, if we're still working, if we're retired, no matter what our state of life is, God is still watching over us. And to me, that is a lot of comfort because I need somebody to watch over me. Sometimes if I didn't have somebody watching over me, I don't know what would happen to me. But I do have somebody. And her name is Vicky. And then above Vicky is God, who watches over me and cares for me. Now, I want to tell you how important it is that our God never sleeps. You'll find it elsewhere in the Bible where they talk about God sleeping. And the one that comes to my mind the most is the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal when they were having a sacrifice. And at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep in thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and must be awakened." Elijah used that as a taunt to them. He used that as a way to dig at them a little bit. "Your God is probably sleeping," because he knew our God never sleeps. Never sleeps. I can remember one time years and years ago, before I was working at the school, I was working in industry. And I had worked too many hours that week. Too many hours. How many know what that is? That's like counting sheep. I mean, it's all evenings. And at about 11 o'clock, I was getting pretty tired. And I started to fall asleep on the job. I was standing up, foot on a pedal, the machine is going, and my eyes are closed. I didn't really realize it, until all of a sudden I opened my eyes and right over here was my foreman looking at me, sleeping while I'm running the job. And you know what he did? He looked at me and he goes, and that was it. But he was watching over me. He was a really good supervisor. Very good. He knew I was in my third dozen. And so he was kind of hanging out where I was because he knew I was tired. I want you to know, God is even better than that. Because he knows early in the morning when I need him. He knows in the afternoon when I need him. He knows in the evening when I need him. He knows when I'm healthy, I need him. He knows when I'm not healthy, I need him. And God never sleeps. So you can rest assured, that no matter where you are, no matter what time of day, when you call upon the Lord, he hears you and he answers. And that is a wonderful blessing and a wonderful thing to know. Because our God never, ever sleeps. We do know. I want you to see this next picture, mainly because I'm a grandpa. I think this picture. This is my youngest granddaughter. She was very cranky that day. Really, really fussy.
Even though she was having a rough day, even though it was a tough time for her that day, she could wrap up there in my arms and fall asleep. And you know what? This guy here, I kind of see him like God. Not that I'm like God. God is this guy, and this is us. We're the ones who get fussy all day. We're the ones who are having a hard time. We are the ones who are going through something, and therefore we get a little whiny. Anybody here ever get a little whiny? You can admit it even if you don't raise your hands, because I already know, because you are humans. We get a little testy sometimes. And then God just wraps his arms around us, and we melt into his arms, and we fall asleep. And God looks down on us and says, "Oh, you silly little boy. If you only knew the things that I protect you from, if you only knew how much I love you, how much I care for you." And I'm just a grandpa. I'm just a little old guy. And God has that love for everybody. God has that love no matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what your position in life is. God is the guy looking down on us saying, "Oh, just rest easy. Just rest easy." Because all of our huge problems are so small for him. What a blessing it is to know that we have a God who never, ever sleeps. Psalm 91, 5 and 6, "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." This verse covers all times of the day. It doesn't matter, morning, noon, or night. Our God is with us, he cares for us, and he never, ever sleeps. Nothing gets past him. Nothing gets away from him, because God is always watching over you. God watches over everything we do, and every person that is here and at home, God is watching over you. And not only does he never sleep, he provides a covering for us. He provides a covering for us. He protects us from harm, from ourselves, from things that are going on around us. He provides a protection for us. And you will find it in Psalm 91, verse 4. "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Being under his wings is a constant theme in Scripture. You'll find it over and over and over again. There's a very visual image of a bird, a mother bird, covering her chicks with her wings and protecting them from sunlight, from rain, from predators. I've seen birds lead you away from their nest and put their wing out like they're injured to draw predators away from a nest. And if it's that prevalent in the animal kingdom, just imagine how it is when God spreads his wings over us to cover us. And under his wings, we find comfort, we find safety, we find protection. And you'll find that often in Scripture. In Psalm 17, 7 through 9, show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. God is always, always spreading his wings out over you to protect you from harm, to always be covering you from what could cause you harm, what could come into your life. God is always watching over you. So no matter what the world throws our way, God has got his wings out over us to protect us. And here are just a few things. God is protecting me from sickness. COVID-19 is no difference. Financial stress or work. God will protect you as long as you are under the covering of his wings. Family strife. How many people here have ever had family strife? Nobody but me. That's pretty amazing. Family strife. It's evident in the world. It's prevalent in the world. Even in my family. I have some members in my family who believe this way about COVID-19. And I have some members in our family who believe this way about COVID. And they're as far as the east is from the west. But my goal is always to be under the covering of God. And as a result of that, I can act as a salve for the person over here and the person over here so that they don't begin to not like each other. Because it is never God's desire for one group of people not to like another group of people. It is never God's desire for there to be division in or out of the house of God. It is never God's desire for people not to get along. It's God's desire that we live in unity. Paul said, as much as it is possible with you, live in peace one with another. It is God's desire that we, as a body of Christ, can have love for everybody, whether they're purple, orange, blue, whether they're old or young, whether they're Presbyterian or Foursquare, whether they're wealthy or less than. God wants unity among all people. He wants us to live amongst each other in victory and in joy because God loves everybody the same. There is no difference because his wings cover everybody. The question is, do we stay underneath them? How well do we stay underneath the protection? I tried to protect my kids from so much. I tried to show them love and show them how much I really cared for them And no matter what I did, it seems like some of them still had to get out from underneath my wings of protection. And let me tell you, as a dad, it was frustrating. If they would only listen to me, if they would only see that I want what is best for them, and yet they do things that I don't understand. And then redemption happens. Redemption happens and things change. It's amazing how much I learned after my kids moved out of the house. This is what they told me. I got so much smarter once they were gone. And all it is I love them and I care for them. Was I frustrated? Oh, let me tell you. There were times, if they were not my children, that beautiful granddaughter that you see there, if it wasn't for the grace of God, her dad might not have lived. And now I hold, he has two beautiful granddaughters for me, and I hold them, and Vicky and I both think, oh, you are the reason we allowed your dad to live. And I wonder, how often does God think that about us? When he sees the good fruits that come out of our life, the way that we reach out and we love others, the beautiful things that we are able to do, and God says, that is the reason I allowed you to live. Because if we get out from underneath the covering of God, sometimes we're vulnerable. And you know what? I think most of us have done it. Fear. God protects us from fear, all forms of fear. Fear. I mean, there's fear that is just. Let me tell you, there is fear that is warranted. There is fear that is healthy, believe it or not. I've experienced that fear years ago. When I was a pizza delivery guy, I delivered pizzas. And I was the happiest pizza delivery guy in the world. I would sing. I was so joyous. As I'd go up with their pizzas, I'd knock on the door. Oh, your pizza is here. Except for the time when I was delivering these pizzas. I had these two really hot. Oh, it smelled so good. And I'm delivering to this house out on North Vernonia Road. And I'm walking in. I have the pizzas right here. And it's really dark in their yard. And there's this huge hedge around the yard. And I walk in and I get about six steps into the yard. And I hear, now that was fear. And I believe that was healthy fear. I stopped in my tracks. I did not move because I'm thinking, I smell like food. And I just freeze. And the owner opens the door to his house and calls his Doberman Pinscher by name. And she goes over by him and he says to me, I am so sorry. I thought she was inside. And I said to him, that's okay. Here's your pizza. Biggest tip I ever got. Now, I believe that fear is healthy. But there are some fear that is not healthy. There are some things that is not good for us. There are some things that we fear that never come to pass, but we think about them and we ruminate on them. And that fear is not healthy. But under the covering of God's wings, he will protect you from that kind of fear. Fear of losing a loved one prematurely. Fear of losing your job. That could be a real scary thing. I lost a job one time. And at the time, I did not understand it. I went in, I applied. I'm a good worker. I worked really hard. They let me go after 2 days. 2 days. And my brother worked there. And he said, Tom, what happened? I said, they let me go. He goes, well, what job did they have you on? I said, well, I don't know, it's routers. And he goes, well, that's the fastest job in the mill. And I did not understand how that could happen to me. And I questioned it. And then about 6 months later, I got a great job. A great job. I worked there until that place went out of business. And I didn't think much of it at the time. But now that I'm retired, I do. Because I contacted them and said, you know, I worked for you a number of years ago. I worked there for about 5 years. And they said, oh, what's your social security number? And I told them. They said, oh, yeah, here you are. You have pension money. Well, that was a nice surprise. It's not a lot. But as my brother always said, it beats a poke in the eye with a sharp stick. God will protect you from fear. Death. How many people know that death is just the beginning? I did a memorial service this week for a dear brother in our church. He used to sit right over here. Jim Lewis. And I did a memorial for him, and it was so peaceful because of who he was and where we knew he was. Those are memorial services. I don't want to say they're fun. I want to say they're rewarding. Because I got to learn more about a person than I knew before. And I got to realize what a legacy he had left in the lives of those who were around him. Death doesn't have as much sting when you're under the covering of God's wings. And uncertainty. How many people would love it if there was a manual that came with life that said, if you do this, this will happen. No matter what. All you got to do is follow this formula. And at the end, everything will be great. But how many know that as humans, there's some uncertainty in our life? How many, when you met your wife for the first day, said, oh, that's her? Apparently, me too. I didn't know this. My sister told me, I came home from my first date with my wife, and I told her, I'm going to marry that girl. I don't remember that, but I believe it, because shortly thereafter, 2 weeks into our courtship, we were engaged. And 2 months into our courtship, we were married. And 40 years ago, that happened. There was no uncertainty there. But some things you can be uncertain about. Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Ever been there? Should I leave this job for another job? Should I go to church? Should I not go to church? I can tell you, go to church. It's good for you. Because then we're placing ourselves under the covering of his wings. Whatever comes your way, God is constantly, constantly covering us with his wings to protect us and to keep us from harm. Again in Psalms, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And let me tell you, people, if you put your trust in God, there's no greater place that you can place trust. If you're putting your trust in a politician, boy, I'm praying for you. If you're putting your trust in a person, maybe me, don't put your trust in me. Put your trust in God. Because God never changes and God never fails. God will never steer you wrong. He will always support you. He will always care for you. It says it in his word, and God cannot lie. God cannot lie. So if he says he loves you, he means it. There's no wondering, because God said it and it is true. I just want to encourage you how important it is that God is just protecting us from things that we are not even aware of. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Over and over and over again, you read it. In the protection of the shadow of your wings. I want you to always know that God has his wings outstretched to protect you, to keep you from harm, to guide you, and to keep you safe. And how many know that being safe is a very, very important thing? I tell my granddaughters when I put them to bed at night, I will be here. I'll be here, and I will make sure that you are safe. 3-year-old, I will make sure that you are safe. It's very important for her to know that she is safe. Yet again, Psalm 5:11. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. It seems very repetitive, but I think we need to hear it more and more. I am protecting you. I am covering you. I am your God, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am never sleeping. I am always, always. And the next point, watching over your life. God watches over our life. From the day we are born until the day we are reborn, until the day we join him in heaven, God is watching over your life. He sees everything. There is never a time that you are out of the view of God. So if you're ever thinking, oh, I can do this because nobody will know. Somebody will know. St. Helens is a small town. More people will know than you think. Somebody is watching over you no matter where you go, no matter what you do. Somebody is watching over you. Psalm 31:7, I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. Even when we're down, even when things have not gone our way, even when we've experienced great loss, we've lost a parent, we've lost a sibling, we've lost a child, no matter what the situation, God saw your affliction. He knows the anguish of your soul. What does it say? I will be glad and rejoice in your love. Because no matter what the situation, God loves you. God cares about you. He watches over you. You are never out of his sight. Have you ever noticed that parents seem to have eyes all over the place? Back of their heads, down the street. Remember, this is a small town. Parents have eyes in somebody else's house because we know everybody. We know everybody. I can remember telling my kids, you know, if you do something there, they're going to call me because they know who I am. They know I'm your dad. Well, I just want you to know, God has eyes everywhere. He sees you. He knows the affliction that you are going through, and he is there to care for you. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, God loves you. And God is always looking for a way that he can bless you, that he can keep you, and that he can comfort you. Because God is a God who loves you. One of the best examples of God knowing the affliction of our soul and the anguish that we are going through is in the book of Luke, where a certain son had wasted all of his father's fortune that he had given to him and all of the possessions. And he decided to return to his father. In Luke 15:20, it says, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. When he was making his way home, his father was already looking for him. And I don't believe this was a one-day occurrence. I picture the father up looking out the window every day, looking for his child to come home, looking for his son that he hadn't seen, who'd been out there and who knows what's happened to his son. And every day, he would open up the window and let the light in. Every day, he would go and he would look out there looking for his son, waiting for him to come home. And this is how I see God with all of us. He's waiting for us to call upon his name. He's looking down at you. He sees you where you are. He sees everything you're going through. And he's there just saying, oh, please, just call on me. Just call on me. I want to help you. I do this with my kids. I can remember, it's really hard as a parent to let your kids make mistakes. It's really hard to let them learn. It's so much easier just to do it yourself. Isn't it? I tried to teach my son how to sweep a floor. Oh, that was painful. I mean, how hard can it be to sweep a floor? I don't think it was his strong suit. You want your kids to do well. You want to teach them. You want to help them. But sometimes the best help is letting them fail. That is so hard. That is so hard for me. I want to see my kids succeed. I want to see my grandkids succeed. And I picture God the same way, saying, oh, it's so hard for me to see you fail here because I want to help you. And sometimes I'm just waiting for you to ask me for help. I can remember waiting for my kids. Oh, just say the word. I'm right here. I can help you. And they never do. I can do this myself. I'm a teenager and I know more than you do, Father. Those weren't his exact words. And I'm thinking, I can so help you. I can so help you. And now that he's an adult and has his own kids, I can't get him not to ask help. It seems he always needs something now. And I think God's the same way. They're always asking help. Now, where were they when they needed me? Well, I want you to know, we always need him. We always need him. In 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them. Not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Now, I know this is talking about pastors, but I want to bring it down a step further. I think this is for everybody. I think everybody here has a circle of influence. I think everybody here have people in the church, out of the church, who see what you are doing, and you are an example to them. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Well, who is under your care? Well, it might be your children, and it might be your grandchildren, and it might be a Sunday school class, and it might be somebody you meet at breakfast, and it might be somebody that you meet at work, and it might be somebody that you don't even know, but you just happen to run into them, and they say, "You know, I know there's something different about you, young lady, and I want to know what it is." And then we have the opportunity to do what? Show them how much God watches over our life and how much he cares for us. And now the rest of the story. This picture. This is only from a few weeks ago. My best ministry happens right there, in my boat. Because people can't get away. We were out with some friends, and we were just having a good day. My boat is anchored off, and we have these two young ladies who shall remain nameless, who are in their life jackets, and I said to them, "Stay near the boat, because there is current here. Stay near the boat." And you know what? They got to playing. They were in the water. They were doing great. But they didn't stay near the boat. And they drifted away. Now they're safe. They're in their life jacket. They're not going to drown. And as captain of my boat, I am responsible for them. They are my responsibility. And I'm watching over them all the time. And I saw them getting farther away. And then when they realized that, they tried to swim back. And they were getting tired. Because believe it or not, even in a life jacket, it's hard to swim against the current. And so what I did is I took my inner tube and I started letting the rope. Now, I could have weighed anchor and went and picked them up. But in the time it takes me to weigh the anchor, they'd drift further down. And I did not want there to be any fear. And so I told them, "I'll let the rope out for you. And you can grab a hold of the inner tube and I'll pull you in." So I let the rope out. I have a 60-foot rope on that. The tube's 4 feet, so we're 64 feet out. And it was not long enough. So I took my dock rope, another 10 feet, tied it on, let it out. It was not long enough. But it was close enough that if they really tried, they could get a hold of it. And so I held it there and I said, "Okay." Now, mind you, I'm not up on the boat. I'm way out on the swim platform. I'm as close as I can get to the water without being in the water. And I'm holding it out there as far as I can. And I tell them, just get to the. And one of them is able to swim and get a hold of it. And then she holds on to the inner tube and reaches her hand out and gets a hold of the other one. And I was able to pull them in. So you see, God is watching over us the same way. And he's telling you, don't get out from underneath those wings. If God says stay near the boat, stay near the boat. Because God knows what the undercurrents are. And I was able to pull them to shore. Well, pull them to the boat. And they were tired. They were tired. But I never, ever stopped watching over them. Because you see, when we're out in the boat, while everybody else is sitting and enjoying life, I'm watching the shore. I'm watching other boats. I'm watching people playing in the water. I'm watching everything, because that is my responsibility. And I want you to know, God's responsibility is to always watch over you. And he's telling you, stay near the boat. There's an undercurrent that will pull you away. But I'm still here. I'm going to let out a line. And all you have to do is hang on to it, and I will pull you in. Because I love you, and I care for you, and I will provide for you. And I promise you that I am watching over you. So this morning, let me encourage you. God is watching.